VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And that sound you just heard, those ka-chings, was going around quite a bit this week.
Yes, it was.
And in particular, yesterday, things are looking pretty good in this market. And stick around for a while. We'll talk about whether or not it'll last, in our opinion, and a bunch of stuff like that. But anyway, welcome to all the regulars. Thanks for always being here. You make this whole thing possible. And if you happen to be a drive-by, or if someone's told you about the show, or if you got prodded by a friend or by us or whatever, welcome to the show. Try to stick around for an hour, and hopefully we'll all learn something. I remind everybody every week that most financial shows are pre-recorded. This one is not. We are actually live and in color right here in the studio. If you want to talk about what you want to talk about, or if you want to hear us talk about what you would like to talk about, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. And we will put you to the head of the line, as always, and we will talk with you or about you if you don't. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, good. Anyway, we were going to talk about money today, because we all have a little bit more of it than we had last week, and quite a bit more than we had a couple weeks before that. And things are just looking really good. There's a lot of optimism out there, which you would never know if you listen to the commercial media. You think everybody was falling apart. And there are, of course, all the dissidents going around breaking things and throwing things, and we're starting to arrest them and throw them in jail, too. And that bothers me about as much as you might expect it would.
Which is not at all.
Not very much. No. I think it's time to get back to some good old-fashioned common sense. We seem to be doing it, and I could not be happier. So, in the market this week, ka-ching.
Yeah, good things happened. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, as you mentioned, I thought it was a little fortuitous that last week we spoke about how if you read the headlines right now, you wouldn't have your money anywhere near the market. And we even posted a blog with that title on Thursday of this week, and then Friday
And I'm going to be talking a lot about it today.
Yeah, there's just a, whenever you see the market run up like this, there's going to be a lot of negative headlines. And in short, don't believe them. But we'll talk more about that later.
No, and will it go down again?
Of course. It's inevitable.
Yeah, but just wait until you hear today what people were saying a year ago, and then you look at what's happening today, and I think you're all going to be stunned.
And never mind what happened, what they were saying a year ago. Look at what they're saying right now.
Well, that's
or
true,
even
too.
As, you know, as recent as last week, the Trump rally's over.
Yep.
We're done.
He's toast.
Yeah.
It's
sell,
toast.
Sell, sell. And
yep.
Yeah, if you had done that, you would have missed out on a really nice week.
Mm-hmm. How nice.
Well, all three indexes closed at new all-time highs this week. That was, in fact, on Thursday and Friday, I believe, there was a triple where all three, the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow, all closed at new all-time highs. So
that is pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't see that every time. Usually one will make a high or two, and the third one will lag or something like that. But this week, 2 days in a row.
Still a couple things playing catch-up, but the broad market is looking considerably better.
Definitely. So the NASDAQ led the way this week, as it has pretty much all year, with a gain of 1.2%. And the Dow and the S&P were not far behind at 1% and 0.8% respectively. You might think that our market has been red hot since the election, and you would be right. But even with the S&P going up 8.1%, it's not the best performer in the world during that time. In fact, Japan, Italy, and Germany are all up over 10% during that run.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Abe is over here right now talking about spending some money in the USA, which should make everybody pretty happy.
Definitely. One of the few countries that is down is Mexico, though. Their local currency, the peso, has also dropped, making returns in Mexican investments for U.S. investors even worse than they look just on an absolute basis.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
No.
Hmm.
Canada, on the other hand.
I didn't look at Canada.
Canada's the polar opposite.
Okay.
They are booming. Hmm. Their market is booming.
On a sector basis, financials have been the clear winner since the election. For years, this group has had lackluster returns and has been hampered by overregulation and has, in general, underperformed the broad market. All of that has been changing lately, with Trump ordering a review of Dodd-Frank with the apparent intent of repealing or replacing it with some more sensible regulation for our time.
I'm for at least half of that.
The consumer sector has rallied since the election, but it has been mostly on the back of Amazon.com. The overall sector is much weaker. Healthcare is another thing.
And a lot of them are getting steadily weaker as they drop the Trump line.
Yeah, exactly. That space is going to be, in my opinion, continually taken over by Amazon.
Death by Amazon is alive and well.
Exactly. The healthcare market is another area that has really lagged since the election, and it just can't find any traction. It started actually before the election because both candidates were kind of hammering them on pricing. Now, whether or not that is true is up for a really big debate, because I could argue that
that's I'm a bull just, on the sector.
I'm not right now.
I know. He puts his into financials, I put mine into healthcare, and he's kicking my butt right now.
Now, at some point, if it continues to go down, I will become a bull on healthcare, though, because obviously the demographics favor it going forward, and there's a lot of good things coming out of that sector. But at this point, it's still showing continued weakness.
Yeah, won't last long.
So energy got a bounce after the election, but it really wasn't due to the election. The bounce in energy was more attributable to the OPEC countries agreeing to a production cut. And since that time, since that bounce that it got, the energy sector has actually been pretty weak. And that was largely due to inventories, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you saw this week, yeah, there was another big jump in crude oil inventories. Yeah. We're actually above where we were last year, which was pretty historic highs.
Yeah, so, the refiners got to get moving, though. Gasoline was not plentiful.
Yep, that was gasoline inventories ticked down this week.
I think I know why, though.
Why do you think
that
is?
Have you noticed the softness in prices at the pump?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they want them up a bit.
Could be.
That's what I'm speculating, and it is just speculation.
Yeah, but the downstream gasoline usage being or inventories being so low could speak well for oil prices in the future, though. So I'm still relatively bullish on the sector.
And the driving season takes off slowly, starting in about March,
right,
and goes all the way through the 4th of July, and then ends typically after Labor Day. So that prices should steadily climb during that time.
You would think so.
If there's not a bigger glut than last year at this time, even.
There wasn't much economic data released this week, with just 8 reports coming out. The data was mixed, with 3 beating, 4 missing, and 1 meeting expectations. One highlight was once again the weekly jobless claims, coming in at 234,000 versus 249,000 expected. This reading was just 1,000 above the lowest reading of the cycle, which was 233,000. So that area of the economy looks really good right now.
It does. People are not being laid off in great numbers right now. I think the reason is pretty obvious. Everybody's ramping up a little bit.
Yeah, there's jobs out there.
And there's going to be a lot more jobs out there when you look at all the people that are investing money in this country. It is happening, people. You can say what you want to about any politician, including Trump, maybe especially Trump, but what has happened to the business community, to the optimism, to the investors, it is speaking for itself, and it's going to continue to trickle into this market in billions of dollars at a time. Lots of people are going to be going back to work. There's going to be a tremendous boom if we don't screw it up, and that was directed at elected Republicans, who will be the ones, as always, who can't seem to stop doing things. So, enough of my politics for now. We have to take a little break. We'll be right back. I'll give you the trivia question right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-TALK. We will be happy to hear from you and talk about you what you want to talk about. But I'm going to introduce the trivia question for the day, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And Ken will probably answer the phone. All right. A year ago, in preparation for one of our shows, I gathered headlines for a week, day by day, and then came in on Saturday and discussed those headlines because some of them were not what I considered very believable, I guess.
Fake news?
Seems to be the term of the day, doesn't it? So yesterday I went back and I was reviewing some of the old notes and just thinking about that kind of thing, reminiscing a bit, as it were, and I pulled up that list, and I read it through, and I could barely stop laughing. It was pretty good. So one of them, this one is going to be the trivia question before I talk about some of the rest of them. One of them said that Apple Computer was in the tank. They were done. The glory days are over. Sell, divest, goodbye. My trivia question is, in the 9 months that ended this week, how far up is Apple stock in that 9 months? What percentage? And I'll take that to the nearest couple percent. Let's just say that his prediction did not work out well.
Okay.
Like most of the others, as it were. So all this financial wisdom that you can get for free now, just look at the internet or listen to the TV or the radio or whatever, they're all over the place. And I think we have a fundamental misunderstanding in this country today about what journalism means. There are lots of kinds of journalists. I guess I am one because I contribute to our blog. So does Adam, so I guess he's a journalist. But those are not hard news items. Those are things that we want to talk about. They're opinion based in facts and based in history. So I guess I'm a part-time journalist, although I would be hard-pressed to admit it because the term has taken on a whole new connotation and it's not good. But anyway, a lot of people get mad at people like Bill O'Reilly because he gives you all of this fake stuff. Well, Bill O'Reilly is an opinion journalist, as is Sean Hannity and a lot of the other big guys. They do not pretend to be traditional old news reporting journalists. The regular old news reporting journalists, however, are pretending to be regular old news reporting journalists because their stuff is saturated in opinions these days. People aren't being taught very well the nature of journalism. Therefore, it is not hard to understand why they get confused when they read some of the stuff. But as I was getting perturbed a year ago, I wrote down a bunch of the headlines of the day because it was just getting ridiculous. So we got to remember that the political situation was just starting to ramp up about a year ago now. And I thought long and hard about whether or not I thought that contributed to a lot of these. And I personally don't think it did have a lot of bearing on it.
I think that if you look at the headlines today and you compare them, they're going to be the same. So really don't think it had much of a effect.
I really don't. Well, a year ago, my favorite headline came on a Sunday, and I will not reveal the source, and I won't judge the source. Don't need to. It speaks for itself. The simple headline read, "Sell everything." He went on to say, underneath the headline, that the markets should be way down, but apparently investors have been hypnotized so that nothing can go wrong. He then suggested even selling bonds, your home, your car, and your children. Now, that might be just a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I think his point was made quite well. Sell, sell, sell.
Ironically, do you know what the bottom of the market was last year?
about this week?
No, it was today.
Today.
February 11th of last year was the bottom of the market.
Yep.
And since then, it's up. Oh, gosh. Let me see here. Between 21 and 27%, depending on which index you look at.
Boy, and if I had just been prescient enough to take this guy's advice, look at all the money I could not have made.
Exactly.
Interesting, isn't it? You know, I remember a time back in March of 09, and if you're a market follower, you remember that March 9th or March 12th of 09 was the end of that long, awful bear market that lasted exactly 18 months. I remember, I don't mention too many names every once in a while, but Cramer, who is, in my opinion, a wild man, but he's entertaining and certainly intelligent. He's just kind of nutso. But he went on the Today Show, and I heard about it despite not being a Today Show fan. And he told them that his advice was that everybody should pull at least 5 years of money they might need out of the market. It was the dead bottom of 18 months of misery that took the market down over 50%. It is not what he meant, but it is what he said. What he meant was, you shouldn't have that money in the market if you can't wait more than 5 years for it. And it had only been going down for a year and a half. So if he had just said nothing, it would have been really great advice, because then everybody would have held on for the next 3.5 years. And not only would they have all their money back, but they'd have it back with a profit on it.
Well, I actually have that data.
It's so convenient to have a statistician right at your left hand, isn't it?
Since March 9th of 2009, the Dow is the lowest gainer of the bunch, and it is up 209.6%. The NASDAQ the S&P is right in the middle at 242%, and the NASDAQ is up 352%.
Pretty bad advice, as it turned out.
Yeah, not so good.
And again, I'm not ever going to tell you that that's what Cramer meant. I think he inartfully made a really bad mistake that had an underlying point that he didn't get into. So if nothing else good comes of this, I made his point for him, but it shouldn't have been said that way. And the problem with people like that is a lot of people listen to him.
He's got a huge following.
He really does. He's got a great business and all that. Like I said, he's a very smart guy, but once in a while he just says things in a manner that would confuse the average listener. Anyway, so we'll go into Monday of that week a year ago, and we get this one. 2016 federal rebate pays off your mortgage. Well, I've been waiting for my rebate for 12 months now.
I haven't gotten it either.
And I'm not even quite sure what a rebate means to this guy, but a rebate is something that you get for doing something. So I buy a six-pack of Coca-Cola, and I mail in something, I get a dollar rebate, right? Now, I don't buy from the federal government. I do send them money, scads of money, it seems. And then they, send me a rebate? I've had refunds, but I've never had a rebate. But anyway, you know what that refers to?
I have no idea.
It came out at the time when the year-end tax fixes that have historically been passed were made permanent. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them. The common one, perhaps the most common one, is being, deduction for state and local taxes, which had only been extended for, maybe 7 or 8 years in a row, so it didn't change a darn thing, except that you used to be in the dark going into the end of the year as to whether or not you're going to get that deduction this year. And if you were in a state that doesn't have income taxes, like Florida, then you get to deduct a set amount of sales tax, or if you can show that you actually spent more than that, you can deduct the actual amount of sales tax. It's a wonderful thing, but it's been wonderful for years. Well, this guy's claim was based on making that permanent. So apparently that was some big, hairy, federal, wonderful thingy that'll pay off your mortgage. Well, what if I had gotten the same amount back as last year? Am I supposed to use the difference to pay off my mortgage? What if I did get more back than last year? What if I didn't want to pay off my mortgage with it? What if I'd rather just put it in a savings account? It's not going to pay off my mortgage. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. So actually, the day I think I got thinking about this was when it came up again. The exact same headline came up again this week. And I thought, my gosh, don't these people ever get enough? And apparently the answer is no, they don't. So anyway, we move on to Tuesday. And on Tuesday, we found that if you want to retire, don't invest in stocks. How much were we up this year?
Oh, gosh. I mean, a lot.
Don't invest in stocks. So I've read further under that one. Well, guess what? He's selling something.
No.
I kid you not. I know you wouldn't have guessed it, right?
An annuity, perhaps?
No. Market futures.
Okay.
This is how you're going to get rich, folks. Invest in market futures, which are options. You know how risky options are on a 1 to 10?
And what are those options on?
On stocks.
Yeah.
But you can leverage a lot of money in the futures market. They're a 13 on a 1 to 10 risk scale. You have to know exactly what you're doing to even get in them. And they are so risky that Uncle Sam will not let you trade like that in an IRA or 401k because you're going to lose all your money. But this guy says if you want to get rich, that's the only way and you have to avoid stocks. I don't think that was very good advice.
I would agree with that.
Now, after the break, Adam's going to come in and tell you all how you're wasting a lot of money on some things that you shouldn't be. And then if we have a little more time, we'll come back and I'm going to pick up with Wednesday and the stupid things that we read on Wednesday. And we will make our point. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794 because if you look out the window, your grass is starting to grow.
It's that time of year.
Oh, man. How many times do you get a perfect 10 on the old weather meter?
Not many, but man, is it beautiful today.
It is absolutely stunning out there. I love it. Let's see. Trivia question is still out there. How much by percentage has Apple computer stock risen in the last 9 months alone? And I did want to make a mention, too, speaking of the local news channels, the ones that gave us the perfect 10. FirstCoastNews.com has been having a special this week on the unclaimed money. And I thought I'd mention it for anybody who's kind of squeamish, I guess, about looking around. I went to FirstCoastNews.com website, and in their search bar, I just put unclaimed, and it gave me a series of sites on it. But they direct you to places like unclaimedmoney.org. Or .com. I can't remember which one it is. But anyway, if you start at First Coast News and just type in unclaimed, you can get there. Now, these places are not scams. I have personally gotten money back for my mother-in-law a couple of times and so on. And there's a guy by my same name, except his middle initial is different, who's down in Sunrise, Florida. And I resist claiming his because he never takes it. But that's another story.
Probably a good idea.
But if you type in your name in the state, in any state in which you do live or used to live, they will also direct you to state sites. And those state sites are just as legitimate as unclaimed money. If you've got some old stock dividend things or whatever, or someone mailed a payment to you and you moved out of town and the forwarding address didn't continue long enough or anything like that, you never know. There are billions of dollars out there nationwide that are truly unclaimed. They belong to people. And if you have a deceased relative, for instance, my sister was on there this morning, it's less than $10 and it's in Wisconsin. And the paperwork you have to do includes all the death stuff. And you know, it isn't worth my time to do that $10. But the point is, the sites are absolutely legitimate. Do not be afraid. They are not going to come and beat you up or hound you for anything. No salesman will call, as they say, but you do have to go through a little paperwork to prove who you are or who your relative is. And they'll just send you the money. Otherwise, it defaults back to the states. Why? If you want to contribute to your state, do it voluntarily, not involuntarily. And speaking of wasting money,
I have been doing a series on ways you're wasting money.
Well, I thought for a minute you were going to say I have been wasting money.
Probably, but
we all do.
These are ways that you're wasting money and you don't even realize it. And so far, I've done your home and your car. Yep. Now I'm going to talk about at work.
Did you mention keeping your tires inflated?
I did.
Good.
Yeah.
Because that's one that plagues everybody.
Yeah, definitely. It's a pretty big drop per PSI that you that you see in MPG.
And your handling suffers also.
It does.
Not to mention tire wear.
So
all those things.
These are good. Some of these are good if you're either self-employed or you work for somebody else. Some of them are either one or the other, but I'll go through as many as I can. I have a bunch of them. So if I don't get to them, you can find them on our blog this week. I will post it. But the most obvious one to me was eating out every day for lunch. That is a killer. And it doesn't matter if you're self-employed or you work for somebody else. If you haven't noticed, inflation has hit the food service sector of the economy, despite what the government says about there not being any inflation. I remember a time not that long ago when you could get a good lunch out for under $10. Now a sub, chips, and a drink can cost you $10. And if you go to an average restaurant with table service, you're probably looking at $15 or more for a decent meal.
I'm older than you are. I remember it a lot cheaper than that.
I'm sure you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't
even want to go there.
$10 for an entree, $2.25 for a drink, plus tax and tip, and there's your $15. It's pretty easy to do.
And out of that $2.25, what percentage is profit?
Probably not that much. I mean, the restaurants are a tough business to make money.
Yeah, they make a lot of it on their soft drinks.
Oh, you mean on the Cokes? Yeah, yeah, that part is
that's where they get
a big markup.
Give the food away. It's the old razor blade theory.
So instead of that, you could go shop at Publix just about every other week and get lunches for less than $50 for that two-week period. This averages out to about $5 per meal, and that savings adds up. This could be an annual savings of about $1,250 to over $2,000, depending on where you're eating out.
After tax.
Exactly. Another one is commuting in a gas guzzler. What car you're driving to and from work can make a big difference in your pocketbook. You may need a big SUV for family vacations and hauling the kids around, but do you need one to drive alone on your 30-mile commute? Driving a car that gets low gas mileage can easily double your monthly gas bill these days. Electric cars and hybrids aren't for everyone, but there are plenty of fuel-efficient traditional car options these days that get around 30 miles to the gallon.
I like my 6-minute commute in a hybrid.
Well, yeah, that doesn't cost you anything.
on a day when the weather's about right, so it doesn't have to kick in air conditioning, it really doesn't cost anything.
No doubt. So just do the math here and see how much money you're spending each month commuting, and you might find a big savings. The third one is not taking advantage of company benefits. And this one it applies to everyone, regardless of who you work for. If you're an employee, the biggest savings you might be missing out on is contributing to your company-sponsored retirement plan. For instance, let's say that you are in the 25% marginal tax bracket, and your company has a 6% dollar-for-dollar match. Your household taxable income is $100,000 per year. Not contributing at least 6% to your 401k means that you will pay an extra $1,500 in taxes and have $12,000 less in your 401k every year. Not contributing that $6,000 to your 401k actually costs you $7,500 per year. The math is different if you're self-employed, but the outcome is the same. There are several other potential costly mistakes with company benefits. If both you and your spouse work, make sure that you pick the benefits that are the most cost-effective. Compare the plans that both companies offer and take the one that gives you the most bang for the buck. Make sure to evaluate your dental and vision insurance to see if they're worth the money. One medical plan might cost less per month, but might have higher copays and deductibles. The larger your family, the higher the chance that you will have a major medical event each year, so that cheaper plan may not actually be cheaper. And third, take advantage of group disability insurance through your employer. This is the cheapest disability insurance you will find, and you're much more likely to become disabled than to die when you are young. Make sure your family would have enough income to live if something happened to you or your spouse. Number four, if you own your own business, there are a lot more opportunities to waste money. The big one is your office space. Make sure that you pick the right size and location for your office and you aren't overpaying for your space. That extra space costs more to maintain, to heat and cool, and to insure than a smaller space would. Also, if you're renting Class A office space downtown but could be renting a strip mall on the south side, how much extra money are you paying every month? look at the type of business you're in. If you need to impress clients and be on the 25th floor of a building downtown, that's understandable if you're a big law firm or something like that. But if you're just running a little shop, why rent out Class A office space? It doesn't make sense. Also, employee compensation and turnover. As a business owner, you don't want to overpay your people. However, underpaying can actually be more expensive over time if your employees are dissatisfied and you have a high turnover. The cost of finding and training new people is probably higher than you think. Additionally, dissatisfied workers can lead to dissatisfied customers, which can cost you money in terms of lost revenue. Routinely review your expenses and see what's costing you money that you don't need. Examples of this include software packages, telecom systems, printing expenses, office supplies, and 1,000 other things that you spend money on your business. So just make sure that what you're paying for, you're actually using.
Yeah, you get into habits.
Yeah.
We always do it this way.
Especially when you set up a monthly auto draft from your account, exactly. Or you just have it charged to a credit card every month. You may pay for something for a year that you haven't used once, and that's just money out the door. Inventory can also be a big drain on your capital. Keeping too much inventory on hand ties up capital that could be spent on growing your business. Too little inventory can lead to delays and lost sales. Inventory that isn't selling needs to be routinely disposed of by selling it at a fire sale or even donating it for a tax write-off. Fees are another way we waste money without thinking about it. Do you have the right type of bank account for your business? How much are they charging you for monthly maintenance fees, ATM fees, late fees, bounce check fees, etc.? So just take a look at every aspect of your business that involves money going out the door and make sure that you're doing it right.
It's real easy to get bogged down doing business because there's always lots to do. Whereas running it, if you sit back and look at it, sometimes can help you an awful lot on the bottom line too. As we know, Adam's done a great job with things like our website. When we first started out, of course we had one, but we were paying less and getting a lot more now because he did some careful shopping and dealing with people. So if your image to you is at all important, as ours certainly is, so take a look at VanWee Financial one of these days. Don't go anywhere. This is the VanWee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And in this segment, we will talk a little bit more about the bad headlines, which brings me back to the headline a year ago that said Apple stock is done. This company isn't what it used to be. They're not innovating. They can't go anywhere, and their stock's going nothing but down. What percentage is it up just in the last 9 months? 222-TALK. It's 904-222-8255. Also, a year ago, on Wednesday, a year ago, we read, and I quote, oil in bear territory, short oil and energy ETFs. I did not take that advice.
I did not either.
And aren't we glad? USO tracks the price of oil. It's up about 40% year over year. Shorting it would have doubled that loss. The gain you didn't get is your loss. You would have had an actual loss also. Thursday, there was a revelation that one very clairvoyant apparent market master had, quote again, indisputable evidence that gold is going to $750 an ounce. Today, it is about 65% higher than that. Now, I don't even need to look up the term indisputable to know that it means not disputable.
Thanks.
So there is no way that anything but 750 could possibly happen. He sells a newsletter. Are you shocked?
Not really.
I didn't think so. Okay, then there's Friday when we were informed that all of us in this world were tired of watching real estate prices plummet. Now, I had been under the impression that for the past several years, real estate prices were kind of marching forward.
Real estate's done very well.
Mm-hmm. And in the year since then, just a quick Google search, I said the average increase in real estate across this country has been 7%. So I'm not tired of watching the trend in real estate because the trend is a good one.
Yeah.
Now, what he was talking about? Oh, wait, he had something for sale. I remember. And it wasn't real estate.
What was it?
I don't even know. I can't remember. This is what they do. These are bait and switch things and every other bad thing you can think of. Well, then Saturday of that same week, it said, and this is probably my favorite with quotations around it, 2016 will bring us, quote, the end of Social Security in 2016.
Oh, no.
Yes. Now, I, as a senior American, a seasoned citizen, whatever, I collect Social Security. And guess what happened in January? It came in.
Well, good.
And apparently that means that Social Security didn't end in 2016.
Hmm.
Now, what was he talking about? You can't tell because if you follow the link, it goes to a site where they immediately want to know everything about you before they'll give you that answer. I will promise you that in some way, shape, or form, if you keep digging, there's an annuity salesman under this one. Because what is Social Security? It's the world's greatest annuity. If it's going to end, then what are you going to replace it with?
Well, a lifetime stream of income, I would assume.
How about that? And that means you'd have to be an annuity buyer. It happens, folks. It's all over the place. Let's see. Copper price also in that year. Copper prices in a bear market going nothing but down. It's risen from $2.03 to $2.69 in the interim. Also that week, Wall Street was demanding that Southwest Airlines start charging baggage fees, because everybody does it. Now, if you look back over the history of airline profitability, there is one airline that has been profitable no matter what.
I'm guessing Southwest?
You got it.
Yeah.
But Wall Street wasn't happy with Southwest Airlines because they were missing the boat. Now, could it possibly be that by not charging baggage fees, someone here and there who was going to take another carrier and found out what they were going to have to pay might have just slipped over and taken a Southwest flight?
Maybe to the tune of tens of thousands of people, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Static anything means you are going to come around to a bad conclusion. Static budgeting of your government, where they get an automatic 8% increase, or they say if you raise taxes 10%, you get 10% more money. You have to account in every business, in every government, you have to account for people's reactions to external stimuli, if I might. In other words, people are smart. If you charge them more, they're going to buy less of it. If you tax them more, they're not going to make as much money. It's really not that difficult for me. All right, we also learned that in that same week last year, that Procter & Gamble was, quotes again, a treacherous investment. Treacherous.
So one of the bluest of blue chip stocks in the United States that's been around for how long?
What 80 years? What percentage of households around the world have a P&G product in at least one room?
I don't want to say 100, but it's got to be close.
It's pushing that.
Yeah.
It's really pushing that. I don't say this just because Adam used to work there, but P&G is, as you said, the bluest of blue chips, the finest and very often best run company anywhere. It has made millionaires out of truck drivers.
Janitors, you name it.
Yep. That stock, if you are a long-term holder of dividend-paying stocks, you would certainly have any reasonable collection of long-term holdings, P&G. And if you look at what it's done since, it would speak for itself. Well, if you pay attention to headlines these days, you're probably going to be unhappy. That's my conclusion. But you're also going to make mistakes. My favorite one from this morning, very simple. 10 reasons why you won't make $1 million.
I saw that one.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have an idea for everybody. Let's all go out and prove him wrong.
That's a good idea.
And if this market keeps doing what it's doing, there's going to be a whole bunch of us that prove them wrong.
So I did want to touch on one thing. Not all headlines are bad.
Okay.
Did you see that Evan Hafer, I hope I said that right, he owns Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Oh, yes.
And I thought this was especially pertinent because we are in a big military town. And he, in response to Starbucks announcing it would hire 10,000 refugees to protest Donald Trump's executive order on immigration, he came out and said he's going to hire 10,000 veterans to his company. And just what a great way to be, to show your patriotism, for one, and to get employment up in this country. And I just loved it. The guy was on Fox the other day being interviewed.
Does he have retail stores, or is he just a supplier?
I think he is starting that. He's also, this isn't all for this company. He's starting several other companies.
Okay.
But pretty much everyone who works for him is a vet. And it's just a great story. I loved it.
I'm curious if he's going to do retail. I bet there'll be a sign on the door that says, if you have a carry permit, your weapon is welcome.
Most likely. He's an ex-Special Forces guy. Oh, real impressive.
That's cool. And then Amazon, too. And you can say all the bad things you want to about Amazon. Lord knows it would take me a long time.
Yeah.
But they're hiring 25,000.
And they're training them as well.
Training them for good jobs, too, in IT. So if everybody does their part, we have a very serious problem in this country with our returning vets. And they need, in many cases, retraining. In all cases, they need to have good jobs available. There's, you know, I've bordered too much on political already today, but there are things going on out there with this administration that are changing the face of this country in a very, very good way. And the only reason that's so critical to all of us as far as this show and our company go is because it's going to make the market better.
Oh, absolutely.
Just that simple.
Yep.
Why don't you spend the last few seconds and just brief everybody on who we are and how to get hold of us, and then we'll see you all next week.
The easiest way to find us is
45%, by the way, Apple was up, in case I think I said it, but I'm not sure.
Okay. The easiest way to find us is online at VanWeeFinancial.com. You can also call the office, 904-685-1505. And we are out in Jacksonville Beach right off of Butler Boulevard, so come and see us. If you schedule an appointment, you can either call or do that right on our website. And the first hour consultation is always free, no charge. And even if you don't do business with us, we promise you'll leave knowing more than you did when you came in. So
and
come see us.
And we will not sell you an annuity.
Absolutely
or
not.
Anything else.
Yeah.
We don't sell. So it's just that simple. Gosh, it's been another week gone by just like that. We need to run. Go out and enjoy this weather, and we will see you all right here next week, same time, same station. Enjoy yourselves. Don't be afraid of the market. Read the headlines very carefully, but if you read something that's a little bit shocking, be sure you finish the whole thing or just throw it aside. That's our best for today. All right, this is the Van Lee Financial Hour. See you next week.